Glory and praise be to Him who holds us in the palm of His hands, who supplies for our needs before we even have the want, who protects our path before we even see the danger, who goes before and behind and surrounds us on each side that we might be His children for time and eternity. To Him be our thanks and praise now and forever. Amen. We turn our attention to our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 10, this day. What should we do about the children who are streaming over our borders from Central America? Should we open our country to them and give them refuge, or should we put them on a ship and send them right back? I have a suggestion. What do you think of this? I think the government should force every family in America to take one of these children and take care of them for a year until the nation can vote as to what they want to do with these children. Pastor, are you nuts? Is that what's going on in your head? Where did you come up with an idea like that? Are you trying to cause trouble? Well, maybe a little. I guess the suggestion would force families in America to actually have the trouble of taking care of someone that had absolutely nothing. That'd be a little bit of a burden. And it also forced the families of America to hear what life is truly like in Central America. Having a foreigner in our home for a year might make that decision of what to do with them very simple or very difficult. Isn't that interesting? Are you trying to cause trouble? Well, sometimes. Sometimes trouble's good. Sometimes trouble shakes our status quo. It makes us to think personally about a situation. It gets us to evaluate, what is it all about? Why am I here, and who is it that I really love? Sometimes trouble is good. Have you ever thought that Jesus is a troublemaker? He doesn't like the status quo. Those who paint Jesus as some kind of weepy, weak pushover who just wants everyone to get along, no matter what they think or feel or how they live, just let's all love one another, they haven't listened to Jesus' words to Matthew here. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. A sword. Swords are built to draw blood, to inflict death. Kind of like someone who brings a gun to a party. All of a sudden, things start to get serious very quickly. Is he causing trouble? Yeah, Jesus causes trouble. He steps into the crowd and causes trouble. He's here to bring peace in our souls between sinful mankind and our Heavenly Father, but He has not come to this world to bring global peace. If anything, the day He stepped foot on Bethlehem soil, there was great trouble that entered the world. All the demons from hell raged in fury the moment Jesus showed up, and they've been raging ever since. But why? Why, being a Christian, would that bring trouble into our hearts and lives? Why? Because He bought us. We are His. And that's either very, very good news or it's very, very bad news. It's a profound truth. We are His. Jesus doesn't want to shield us from the trouble that comes from this news. Actually, He pushes us forward into it. because this trouble shakes us and quakes us and breaks us out of the status quo and gets us to really think, who are we? Whose are we? What does it all count? Who am I going to love? Those are some very big questions. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote a sonnet about the deep and profound grip love has on a person. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach. Is that how much we love Jesus? Did Jesus really ask that profound of a love? Well, listen to his words that he says, and how that sword cuts into our very heart and relationships. He makes it very clear. For I have come to turn a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Wow. Do you feel Jesus' sword cutting into the fabric of our relationships? Of all the loving relationships God has placed in our world, in our life, none of them are to be on the same orbit as our loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to soar far beyond anything else that is meaningful to us. God's love is to move us so dramatically that we love Jesus more than life itself. That's why the martyrs were able to be the martyrs for Jesus Christ. It's truly a transforming and tremendous blessing when family members support us in loving Jesus more than life itself. But that's not always the case, is it? Sometimes there are more hindrances. Kind of like when a young man and a young woman get married and they form a brand new family. Their parents are supposed to support them in this new family. And yet sometimes in-laws act more like outlaws and they worm their way between husband and wife and try to treat them like puppets and pull their strings and get them to do their bidding. And sometimes newlywed couples have to move states away in order to get away from the influence of mother or father. Well, Scripture describes a holy marriage between us and Jesus. We're the bride and he's the groom. And he will not tolerate anything getting in the way of his bride and him. He reserves us all for himself with a holy love and affection. And that means sometimes the relationships here on earth need to be put in their place. Yeah, even mothers and fathers sometimes will try to woo us away from Christ. Oh, it doesn't matter. Don't go to that church. They're too narrow-minded. They're too strict. You've got to do your own thing. Sometimes son and daughters get in our way. Oh, come on, it's a new day and age. Of course, there's alternate ways of living. So what if someone's cohabitating? So what if they're same-sex marriages? It's all relative and try to get in our way. Sometimes brothers and sisters, come on, if you want to be productive in business, you got to cheat a little bit. You got to be dishonest in this world. It's all about you getting what you want. And we can have temptations and troubles and mockery for our Christian faith in every quarter. But the fiercest enemy against us is our own sinful nature that lurks within and wants to put off Christ. It really can be boiled down into this one phrase that encapsulates it all. He bought us. We are His. To a new person of faith, that is the greatest news. He bought us. It was our Lord Jesus Christ who stretched out His arms on the cross and took our punishment. It's His blood that drips on us and washes us clean. He's the one who stood between God's wrath and us and took the blows in our place so that God could wrap His arms of forgiving love around us for all eternity. He bought us at a very dear price, and we are His. Think of the horrible consequences if we are not His. We are His, and heaven is our home. We are called the children of God, and our new person of faith leaps for joy. To the believer within us, that is a sweet smell like flowers or candy. That we are His and He is ours. That's the smell of life and love and salvation. But to our sinful nature and to this world, that stinks. Nobody's going to own me. I'm my own boss. I've got my life to live. I want to be God. I'm calling the shots. I know enough. It's whatever I think is right, and whatever I think is wrong, and I'm going to do my own thing, my own way. And this whole idea of someone having to buy me is repulsive. Nobody owns me, not even God. That's our sinful nature talking. And it's going to do whatever it wants, its way. And that's why our sinful nature has to be put down every single day. Like a rabid dog. It must be defeated. That our heart may be dedicated to live in love for the Lord all the days. We are not our own. We were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And Jesus doesn't save us from that trial and trouble, the mockery and the temptation. No, He uses it for a test. He lets the temptations and the persecution and the heartaches and the snickers and the disowning of us come. Also, that He might shake our comfortable lives and ask us, what are we all about? What are we made of? Are we the children of God or not? Who are we truly living for? Who owns us? And by His grace, we rejoice that we are His and He is ours. Now, indeed, sometimes we fail the test, don't we? We give in to our sinful nature. We kowtow to the influences of the world and their snickers. And we kind of, either in silence or with vocal approval, approve the sins that are disgusting in God's eyes. Jesus forgives us for having faint hearts and weak souls. His holy blood drops on each and every one of those sins also, and we find full and free forgiveness. And His arms of grace wrapped around us encourage us every day to step out new, to live for Him and not for ourselves, to proclaim His wonders and His news. We are His, and that's a beautiful truth. And we will live as His blood-bought children. Have you ever wondered, with these children that come over from Central America, why they come in groups? Why don't they come individually? Wouldn't they have much more chance of sneaking by the border patrol? One of the reasons why they might come in groups is because when we're fleeing a dangerous situation and we're going to a foreign land that we don't really know what it's all about, isn't it nice to have some companionship, someone to support us, to belong to someone who's making this dangerous journey with us, as opposed to being out on that limb all by ourselves? Jesus recognizes how we need the fellowship of believers. We need one another as we make our journey home to paradise. He hasn't called any of us to be individuals all by ourselves on our own little island, but to be His body of believers. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. Anyone who receives a righteous man, because he is a righteous man, will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Do you see how personally Jesus makes this? He's not just telling us, hey, go befriend one another. No, he puts himself in on that whole equation. If you're receiving a prophet, a righteous man, even the most insignificant Christian, simply because they are my child, they are my spokesman, you're receiving me. Oh, we would never dream of saying, Jesus, stay outside. I don't want you in my house. Oh, no, if Jesus would come to visit, we'd haul out the banquet. But how often when Jesus' children come, we can turn a cold shoulder to them. But somehow Jesus isn't to be offended, huh? Oh, just the opposite. We live in a cold, dark world filled with rejection, filled with people who'd love to throw stones at us because we are the children of God. How much more should the children of God then band together, bond with one another to support each other on their journey? He calls for us to encourage one another, to forgive one another, to feed each other's faith, to help us on the road to paradise. And as he sends his word through his messengers, how we see the very face of God in their face, in all of his disciples, big and little, and rejoice, we have oneness together. As Jesus has hold of our hands, so we have hold of each other's hands as we journey heavenward. And that is good and pleasing. Not that one of us, not for the financial gain we get out of one another, not because that will make us prestigious in the sight of others, not because of anything we can get, but simply because they, like us, are the children of God, basking in his word, encouraging and building one another up. This is beautiful in God's eyes. This is his holy will. Who has God placed in your life that tests and tries your faith and shakes you out of the slumber of apathy or status quo? Thank God that that's yet another opportunity for us to refocus our lives to live for him and not to be complacent. Who has God placed in your life as a companion heavenward to encourage, to strengthen, to help keep our eyes heavenward and not to be distracted on the side roads here on earth? Thank God for such companions as we journey forward. And thank God that we are their companions to encourage them as much as receive encouragement from them. God has worked in all those things that we might be blessed. We live in dark times. We have a difficult journey. But isn't that neat? We're not illegal aliens sneaking over the border hoping for a better life in a foreign country we know nothing about. No, we are citizens of God's heaven already, citizens of his kingdom, with a holy passport and adoption papers sealed in the blood of Christ. We are going to our homeland in heaven. We are aliens and strangers here in this world. May God strengthen us each and every day with every trouble through his powerful word so that we never ever forget who we are and whose we are. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace divine, You have created us anew and called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. So may our eyes be ever fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Bless us and strengthen us now and all the days of our journey until we see you face to face in glory. Amen.